Good afternoon, everyone. I pray we had a pleasant break, but more so, I pray we were more blessed by Elder Cunha's message this morning. And I pray it will have an impact on us, that we will ask God to help us individually seek and study his word more for ourselves. So before we begin the service and Elder Cunha will speak to us, can we just have a word of prayer? Let's pray. Our gracious and eternal Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for your truth. Thank you for your manservant. And I just pray that as this presentation continues, that we ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit will continue to use your servant more. I pray that you will impress upon the hearts of those who are with us this morning to come back and to be blessed, so that when we end this presentation, Lord, we can give you thanks. Thank you for what you've done for us. Be with us now, we pray, and lead us on to the end. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I understand you're going to play this video?
Yeah. Donna, when you're ready.
I'm going to share my screen now, Donna.
Go ahead.
Thank you. All right. So we prayed already. Thank you again for your invitation, Elder Earl and Donna and Pastor Vincent. Part two, pandemic political prophetic panorama. And there are seven kings, five are fallen and one is, and the other is not yet come. Yes, let's move on. If anyone has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Revelation 17, judgment of the great hall. It's enigmatic, People talk about Revelation being difficult to understand. When you come to this part of Revelation chapter 17, people are baffled. And there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vows and talked with me, saying unto me, come hither, I shall show you the judgment of the great whore that sitteth on many waters. An earthly power will rise and will try to unite the world. On many waters, waters represent people, multitude and nations and tongues. Revelation 17, 15. The Bible is its own interpreter, Mystery Babylon. Why is she judged? 17:2, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk with the wine of the fornication. We saw part of that this morning. The papacy is moving across religious and political divide, and shortly exercising its power on global economy, leading to the merger of church and state. Church and state, woman and beast. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. What is he talking about? Let's see as we go along. Woman, they go to the church. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 11:2, for I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espouse you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. A woman is equal to the church, a spouse to Jesus Christ. Yet the woman of Revelation 17 is fornicating, that is, having an illicit relationship with the kings of the earth. No trust in God. False doctrine would come into the church through this false religious system called Babylon. Let me qualify, let me make a caveat here, which I forgot to do this morning. I'm not getting at the Catholics per se. The Catholics themselves are very sincere, charitable, loving people. But the system managed by Rome is not biblical because they mix truth with error. So this is why we've got to preach according to the Bible. Who is the king of Babylon? And the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carried her, which had seven heads and 10 horns. King of Babylon is equal to red dragon is equal to Lucifer. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and his great authority. I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast. The dragon, therefore, is equal to the scarlet colored beast. King of Babylon is equal to Lucifer, Isaiah 14, 4 and 12. And that thou take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how has the oppressor seized and the golden city seized? How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, king of Babylon, then down Lucifer. So Isaiah explained it to us. We'll go from Revelation to Daniel, Genesis, Isaiah. The Bible is here to explain things to us. Wants to be like the Most High. He wants to sit on the Mount of God. He wants to oppress the nation. In Revelation 12, Satan works through pagan Rome to destroy Jesus. Herod passed a decree, every male child two and under should be slain, because he didn't want Christ to grow up and to contend to the throne of Rome. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth. Christ was to be born, to devour a child as soon as it was born. So in the Bible, the dragon represents Satan, biblical prophetic symbol. Dragon is equal to Satan. Let the Bible tell you. And the great dragon was cast out. What is his name? The old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out in the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. This is why today you got a lot of people who are demon possessed, because all these one third of the angelic host who were cast out, they are going around with Satan and devouring people. Even yesterday, Pastor Jujo Boni had to go with three other pastors to Southampton because a lady has been demon possessed for a few years. With a local pastor, they met her, they prayed, and they got through because the Holy Spirit intervened. So a lot of things going on right now. The eighth, King of Babylon, Lucifer, Isaiah 14, 16, again, that they say they shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? The eighth, King of Babylon, 17:8, they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is this the man? 17:9, this call for a mind with wisdom. The seven heads are seven hills on which the woman sits. Ladies and gentlemen, and there is wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. So Rome sits on seven hills, and here they are looking at you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Only one city meet that description. There is only one city in the world that fits this description. It is Rome. The fallen church system of Revelation 17 has colors of purple and scarlet, and she sits on a city with seven hills. Yes, sir. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. 50 million Christian crimson the sword of Europe with their blood during the dark ages, 1260 years, burned at the stake, daubed with coltar, and lighted up to be the torch preceding the kings in his carriage, sent into the collision, devoured by wild animal. But one thing happened, though, while they were being driven in the collision, they were singing hymns. Their face was shining with faith, and some gladiators like Tertullian was converted. What type of people are these? They are going to face their death, devoured by wild animals. They are singing hymns. It's a bit like Paul and Stephen. When Stephen was giving up the ghost, he looked to heaven and he prayed. And this was the touchstone for Paul's conversion. How come? A man is being stoned to death and he is praying, lay not this sin to their charge. So purple and scarlet, the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearl. Purple and scarlet, mother of harlot, the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stone and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of abomination and filthiness over fornication. Woman equal to a church. And here is the papal system with their cup in their hand. Mother of harlot, purple and scarlet. And upon her head was the name Mystery, Babylon, the great mother of harlots and abomination of the earth. Sad to say, now all the Protestant churches who've joined under the umbrella of Rome, they are now the harlots of Rome. They've defected from the true church. Protestantism is almost dead, but that's something else. I might touch on it later on. Let's move on. Purple and scarlet. Yes, sir. Mother of harlot decked in purple and precious stones. Woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet. You can see that only one system in the world fit that description, that color coding. in Revelation 17, purple and scarlet, purple and scarlet, assembling there for the funeral service of John Paul II. I have a sneak at the TV program this afternoon to sort of look at the funeral service of the Duke of Edinburgh. Very moving indeed. Purple and scarlet, purple and scarlet, purple and scarlet. Brethren, there's a color which is missing. What is the color? Blue. What has blue got to tell me? Exodus 28:5, and they shall take gold, blue, and purple, and scarlet, and fine linen. 28:6, and they shall make the ephod of gold, of blue, and of purple, of scarlet, and fine twine linen. 28:8, and the curious girdle of the ephod which is upon it, according to the work thereof, even of gold, of blue, and purple, and scarlet. Blue is missing. Remember the law, Numbers 15:38-39, that they put upon the fringe of the borders a ribbon of blue associated with the law of God. That color is missing. And it shall be unto you for a fringe, that ye may look upon it and remember all the commandments of the Lord and do them, all of them, including the fourth commandment. International Labor Organization, shaping the future of work. Google employees around the world have formed an international union alliance called Alpha Global, Business Insider, 25th January 2021. The trade union will be one of the agencies that will bring upon this earth a time of trouble such as not been since the world began. What does the future hold? Here you go now. Reintegrate Sunday protection into EU law. Sundays, we recommend that the EU protect Sunday in a revised working time directive as a collective day of rest, shaping the future of work, page 34. This is now the union coming into play, as anyone say. So remember, the only commandment starting with remember is the fourth commandment, remember the Sabbath day. Recalling our support for the European Sunday Alliance, we therefore remain strongly committed to its objective of reintegrating the Sunday as a synchronized day of rest in European law. Sunday is the only day of the week to enjoy what is not produced and not consumed, not bought and sold. Pope Francis, where? He's coming from a different angle altogether. The mark of the beast is to be presented in some shape to every institution and every individual. 1888 material. Right, now we come to 17, and that no one may buy or sell except one has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. History will be repeated. False religion will be exalted. The first day of the week, a common working day possessing no sanctity whatever, will be set up as was the image of Babylon. All nations and tongues and peoples will be commanded to worship the spurious Sabbath. The decree enforcing the worship of this day is to go forth to all the world. Ellen G. White, SDA Bible Commentary. There are but few, even of those who claim to believe it, that comprehend the third angel's message. I'm not talking about the three angel's message. I'm talking about the third angel's message. And yet this is the message for this time. It is present truth, but how few take up this message in its bearing and present it to the people in its power. With many, it has but little force. So Ellen White is reprimanding the remnant church because they gloss over the warning about receiving the mark of the beast. There has been too much beating about the bush in proclamation of the third angel's message. The message has not been given as clearly and distinctly as it should have been. So don't upset the papal system. Don't upset the Catholic. Don't preach about the third angel's message. I say it kindly. When we studied the book of Daniel, I think the first quarter last year, there were some people, some churches in Europe did not touch the Sabbath school because they say we're too harsh on the Catholic. It's not a question of being harsh on the Catholic. It's a question of preaching present truth. The Catholic, the Jesuit, all of these, the Chinese, they will come out of Babylon, some of them. When you preach Revelation 18, come out of Babylon. God has got most of his people in Babylon. So we've got to present the message which is present truth for this time. Pope calls for global authority to impose climate change agenda. You see, climate change is now a global problem. So everybody's concerned about climate change. So the Pope, with all due respect, hijacked climate change, put it in his encyclical Laudato Si, and sell it to the world. And we are buying into it. Even some Adventists don't know which way to go. In the face of the urgent environmental crisis that the world faces, our mission is to spark a mass movement of observance of a weekly day of rest. The Sabbath, a green Sabbath, on which the impact on the environment is minimized. Communion with Mother Earth will be resurrected after pandemic. Green Sabbath Network. And this Sabbath, ladies and gentlemen, I got nothing to do with the seventh-day Sabbath. This is a Sunday, Spurious seventh, first day of the week Sabbath, Sunday. So Guardian 2019, the climate crisis is our third world war. Wow. It needs a bold response. So everybody come on board. This morning I showed you Greta Thunberg talking down to the World Economic Forum last year. Tell them, come on, gentlemen and ladies, pull your socks up. Let's save the world. Worship Gaia. Worship Mother Earth. Climate change is now a new religion. Whether you like it or not, it's a fact of life. They are worshiping Mother Earth. Look at this picture. You got Mother Earth on top, the lady there, and her arms surround the earth. And right down there, you can see people of all nations joining their hands and worshiping. And what are they worshiping in the middle? The sun. Worship creation, not the creator. So climate change is a dangerous animal. We will only preserve Mother Earth through a paradigm shift from a human-centric society to an Earth-centered global ecosystem. So Mother Earth, global ecosystem, God is out of the frame completely. Lopez, communion with Mother Earth will be resurrected after pandemic. It is time to redistribute the assets of creation. Now, Green Sunday by Indian ecologist, activist, Satish Kumar is now talking about Sunday. Not long ago, Sunday used to be a day of rest, a day of spiritual renewal, a day for families to come together. But we have changed Sunday from a day of rest to a day of shopping, flying, and driving. However, in the context of excessive carbon emission into the atmosphere, which are bringing catastrophic upheaval, we can and should restore Sunday to a day for Earth, for Gaia. So here you are, an Indian guy promoting Sunday. Everybody, I said this morning, I repeat, singing from the same song tree. And the Catholic Church's Sunday is our mark of authority. The church is above the Bible, and this transference of Sabbath observance is proof of that fact. Revelation 17, 10 to 12. And there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is not yet come. When he cometh, he must continue a short space. and the beast that was and is not even, he is the eighth and is one of the seven and goes into perdition. Seven is eight, eight is seven, it's a sort of conglomeration here, but we'll come to that, I will go along. And the ten horns which thou sawest are ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but receive power as kings an hour with the beast. So, Revelation, we're going back to Daniel. Here we find that, and four great beasts came from the sea, each different from the other. In Daniel chapter 7, Babylon is the first one, then Medo-Persia, then Greece, then pagan Rome. Daniel 7, verse 3. Thus, he said, the fourth beast from that conglomeration shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which is Rome. The beast represents a political or religious power. Mystery, Babylon the Great. Five are fallen. Let's look at it. Babylon is gone, the lion. Medo-Persia is gone, the bear. Greece is gone, the leopard. Pagan Rome is gone, the seven-head right there. And now we've got papal Rome, which was removed from its office in 1798 when General Berthier, under instruction from Napoleon, walked into Rome and took the priest cap, the Pope sixth captive. So five are fallen. Who did the dragon pagan Rome give his power, throne, and great authority? We'll repeat that earlier on that again. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and great authority. So pagan Rome shift power to papal Rome. You don't believe it? Let Rome tell you. La Bianca, professor of history in University of Rome. To the succession of the Caesars came the succession of the pontiff of Rome. What Revelation said is confirmed by the Roman professor himself. Papal supremacy, 538 AD to 1798, Emperor Justinian gave power to the Pope of Rome. Papacy rises to power for 1260 years. They create mayhem until Pope Pius is imprisoned. Papacy is wounded. And there again are the picture of the Christians who were persecuted. And these Christians who died in Europe, they were not Sabbath keepers. They were Sunday keepers. But they will be saved in God's kingdom because truth is progressive. That's another lecture. We'll come to that some other time. And I saw one of his head as it had been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world marveled and followed the beast. Wow. This verse, Revelation 13:3, is very loaded. It talks about the death of the Pope in 1798, the wound being healed, and today, between our own eyes, the world is wandering after the beast. Here is Berthier walking in Rome, and it takes Pius VI prisoner in the south of France. In prison, the ring of authority was torn out of his finger and he died of ill health, and old Pope Pius VI. But it was to be revived. Mussolini and Gasparri signed historic Roman Pact. Concordat in 1929 was signed, and from then on, the mortal wound was healed, and we are where we are today. 1776, 1798, rise of America. Then 1798, Pope taken captive, dark ages end, papal power wounded. 131 years, you come to 1929, Vatican resurgence, healing has begun, and 2:1, the healing is complete. Enters Carol Whitehall, John Paul II. Yes, he was the Pope who was flying all around the world. Yes, the jet set Pope. John Paul triumphs, says Newsweek magazine, politicians vied to be seen bowing to the Pope. Yes, a great geopolitical leader, respected as such, as he took office in 1979. Now, this is our present Pope Francis, the Jesuit, enters the first Jesuit Pope Francis, the rock star Pope, takes the world by storm. As global instability deepens, the world desperately needs someone with moral authority. Rarely are the new player on the world stage captured so much attention so quickly, young and old, faithful and cynical, as Pope Francis. This is Nancy Gibb, the former chief editor of the Time magazine. Time magazine, brethren, is preaching to you. Here they go now. Timeline, life line picks it up. The Jesuit together, the Black Pope. The Black Pope is the captain of the Jesuit order, and the White Pope, you know him. Pope Francis, first Jesuit Pope of history, greeting the Black Pope, the commander-in-chief of the Jesuit order. The Jesuit has everything made for them right now. And Mr. Biden is Jesuit trained, he is a Catholic. Pope called for all religion to unite. As he stepped into the Holy See, he said, everybody got to come together, Catholic, non-Catholic, religions such as Orthodox, Anglican, Lutheran, Methodist, and others, including Jews, Muslims, Buddhists, and Hindus, come together. Then he makes this assertion. Division is a work of the devil. So if we don't join that package, then we are the work of the devil, are we? Pope Francis' Global Compact on Education, virtual meeting in the Vatican, 15th of October, 2020, because education is a sphere, is a domain that is very, very well practiced and cultivated by the Jesuit. Pope Francis' vision for society and the world are geared to promoting a new humanism, huh? Not Christianity, but humanism. Reject the notion of Christ's second coming, of fraternity and inclusion regardless of religion. You can join in National Catholic Register, March 2020. Christian humanism, huh? Seeks to establish God's kingdom now on earth through the church involvement in the social political process. It's a flawed theology because they believe the millennium will be spent down here, Jerusalem will be rebuilt, the temple will be rebuilt, and that the millennium will be here. This is why the evangelical got their deal with Pope, Mr. Trump. Trump will put you in office if you move the capital of Israel from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. I refer to that in a different lecture. Here you are too. Archbishop Vincenzo Zanni states that Pope Francis' new humanism is one in which God withdraws so that men can be free. Wow. That's a tall, arrogant order. Climate change dogma reject the notion of Christ coming to establish his kingdom because it believes that mankind has the resources to construct a better future. So this morning we look at the World Economic Forum, how they are working for a better world. Uh-huh. The principal plan is to establish a one world government. Man will reset the world. And I saw how the beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke as a dragon. This second beast of Revelation 13 is America. In 1798, France was the last country to formally acknowledge America in the Brotherhood of Nations. But this is a different lecture, American prophecy. A lot is happening there. Pope inspires International Day of Human Fraternity. Why? Time to heal wounds in the US of A. So they borrow Revelation 13, 3, jargon to heal the wound, you know? So the seven kings and the eight is the beast and the last, right? We look at the five are fallen already. Then the US of A is one is, Yes. And now number seven, 10 horns, 10 crowns, United Nations, one is yet to come. Red Dragon, Lucifer, Spirit Room goes into perdition. Now, we're going to unpack that now. How, you know, how Spiritism will call the day as we turn the corner, coming down the last stage of human history. 1711 and the beast that was and is not even, he is the eighth and is of the seven and goes into perdition. The eighth beast belonged to the seven and mislead the whole world in Spiritism. That's a tall order, but keep watching. Yes, the seven kings and the eighth is the beast and the last. I repeat it. Repetition deepens impression. USA 1798 and 1844 will come into play. 10 horns, the 10 crowns, United Nations. Red Dragon, Lucifer, Spiritism. So, is yet to come, and there are seven kings, five are fallen, and one is, and the other is yet to come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. And the 10 horns which thou showest are 10 kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as king 1 hour with the beast. 10 horns, no crown. So where is he coming from? Where is he coming from? One is yet to come, the global reset that we studied this morning. Now, the region of the world are being divided by the United Nations into 10 sections, right? So you got to interpret prophecy according to where we are now in the stream of time. The 10 horns are 10 kings, 10 divisions of the world. Sometimes a single prophetic passage may embrace more than one fulfillment. Some such prophecies are both an immediate and a more remote fulfillment. SDA Bible commentary. The 10 horns are 10 kings, 10 leaders. Now, Ban Ki-moon, the former secretary of the UN, Pope Francis meeting with Ban Ki-moon, who said, United Nations and Holy See have same goal and ideal. The UN comes under the prophetic limelight. Ban Ki-moon make that statement. So you got to interpret current events in the light of prophecy. So UN and Holy See have got the same agenda. New York mayor stated Pope Francis is the strongest moral voice in the world who is calling political leaders to action, church and state combined. Simon Perez, Pope Francis is a more powerful peace advocate than the United Nations. What we need is an unquestionable moral authority. Catholic News Service, September 2014. This is the former president of Israel. So everybody is supporting and putting the papal system on a pedestal. Pope Francis addressed the United Nations during his historic visit on 25th September 2015. Now, as a rule, the representative of countries go to the UN meeting. But on that day, the leaders of the world were there and they were lectured upon by Pope Francis. He made history big time. His Laudato Si encyclical is now hailed as the charter of the... Did you hear that? Wow. His encyclical... Laudato Si, which promotes Sunday keeping, is now hailed as the charter of the United Nations. What a shift. This magnificent document gives us a pathway to a better world. The pathway to a better world is not your Bible, Old Testament, and New Testament, the gospel of salvation by Jesus. No, the pathway now is Laudato Si. That is not biblical, with all due respect. This is why Christ said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's and unto God the things that are God, period. URI, North America, United Religion Initiative of the United Nations. Did you get that one? The UN is now talking about initiative in religious matters. church and state combining in front of your eyes as never, ever before. Catholic World Report, Pope Francis sets out vision for world post-coronavirus pandemic. Don't wait for all these things to happen. Ladies and gentlemen, whoever is now within the sound of my voice, put your life in order. Don't wait for tomorrow. If you've got to get baptized, you want Bible study, talk to the pastoral team of three elders in Stuart Newington and Pastor Vincent. Talk to UN. Rethink the future of our common home. Common home, common good. Through solidarity, the current crisis, the Pope notes, shows that solidarity cannot be an empty word or promise. We should all work together to ensure this. The Pope proposes a change of direction that involves a more robust ethical framework. UN must recommit to serving the common good, Cardinal Parolin, United Nations, and he is the Secretary of State of the Vatican. I don't know if he still is. While there has been setback, the world still needs diplomats here and for the countries they represent to commit themselves ever anew to the daunting task of seeking, again, this word, the common good. This is the Jesuit mantra. United Nations Sustainable Development, United Nations Conference on Environment and Development Earth Day celebration in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil 1992, they put forward the Agenda 21, which is now 2021. According to its author, sustainability focuses on three things: global land use, managed earth biocapacity, global education and global population, control and reduction. So, which means that with an education system floundering worldwide because of COVID-19, don't be surprised that the Jesuit education agenda is really clandestinely pushed through without you knowing what it is. The true objective of Agenda 21 includes an end to national sovereignty. I talked about that this morning. Restructuring of the family unit, which means basically the state will take care of your children with a keen eye towards indoctrinating them into state control over family allegiance. And this is not far-fetched. UN declares 4th of February this year, International Day of Human Fraternity, based on the Pope encyclical. Pope Francis embraces Sheikh Tayyab, write him there, Sheikh Tayyab, the Grand Imam, after his speech at an ecumenical peace conference in Cairo, at the Cairo Al-Zahra's Mosque, what was in 2017. So Fratelli Tutti, the recent encyclical of Pope Francis on fraternity and social friendship, signed by him and the Grand Imam of Al-Zahra last year, has found a strong echo in the hall and corridors of the United Nations. That's it. It's all cooked and being served to the world, brethren. A strong echo in the hall and corridors of the United Nations. So United Nations Ten Horns, the alliance between apostate Christianity and the political powers of earth, is the means by which, now I'm coming nearer home now, is the means by which Satan proposes to unite the world under his leadership. I don't know all the finite details, but the enough is revealed for us to take a stand for God, for Christ, and the truth of the gospel. This is why John warned, these are of one mind and they will give their power and authority to the beast. And you can see this happening now. The world leaders are subscribing and saying yes, sir, to the papal system. Another historic move on 24th of September, before he went to the United Nations, Pope Francis made history by addressing both houses of Congress, becoming the first Pope to do so. We cannot postpone certain agendas, said the Pope, We need to set aside partisan interests and strive to serve again this great phrase, the common good. For the first time in many, many years, was the House of Congress packed to the rafters. The army, the navy, everybody was there. And after delivering his speech, he was taken to the balcony outside, which is only the reserve of president of the states. When they go to the balcony to take standing ovation from the people, but the Pope, as he was speaking, every now and again, the floor rose in standing ovation. And all the world wondered after the beast. John F. Kennedy, we saw this morning, wanted to keep the church and state separate. If John F. Kennedy knew what happened in September 2015, he would rotate in his grave, because there was a Catholic Pope talking to Protestant America. So the 195 world leaders voted the 2030 agenda, a scheme to control every phase of the life of everyone on planet Earth. You say, Cunha, what are you talking about? Well, I told you this morning, they've got your digital profile on the system there already. But you see, the thing is, our God is bigger than them. Ban Ki-moon, the new agenda is a promise by leaders to all people everywhere. It is universal, interpretative, and transformative vision for a better world. We must include all parliaments and local government. We must listen to scientists and academia. Most important, we must seek to work now. Academia, scientists, God is completely mapped out of the way. It's a great, great shame. United Nations New World Order Project is global, high-level initiative founded in 2008 to advance a new economic paradigm, a new political order, and more broadly, a new world order for humankind, which achieve the UN's global goal for sustainable development by 2030 and the happiness, and the happiness, well-being, and freedom of all life on Earth by 2050. God have mercy. God have mercy. 2030 agenda, the Pope ushers in the new world order. We said this morning, Christ said pointedly, emphatically, my kingdom is not of this world. You cannot save the world from global climate change. The harlot woman of Revelation 17 represents a false system of religion. The beast power musters the kings of the earth to make war with the lamb. In today's concept of the global village and ecumenism, in all churches joining together, the way is being paved for full reconciliation with Rome. This is why it is high time that Mr. Ganun Job from the GC, the Religious Liberty Director, he should stop meeting with the ecumenic movement. There is nothing Adventists can do to reverse the trend. We've got now to go according to our God-given commission to preach the three angel message, because we can't turn the tide. This is predicted to happen. Adventists got to pull the spiritual sock and do things according to Ellen G. White counsel and also the book of Daniel and Revelation. And this is what? The dragon was wroth with a woman and went to make war with the remnant of the seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. Satan is angry with the woman because we are like a false thumb. We are like a thorn in their side. Remnant in the time of Noah this morning, Sabbath school lesson, and the last remnant depicted right now in the end time. We belong to that remnant. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. By the way, you've got to have the faith of Jesus first to be able to keep his commandments. Otherwise, you put the proverbial cart in front of the ox. Now, before I close, Armageddon, what is it? The battle of the mind. At this critical time, a miracle working third force laced with spiritism has emerged on the ecumenical landscape. All churches joined together, you falling to the trap of Satan. And I saw three unclean spirits like frog coming out of the mouth of the dragon, Satan, out of the mouth of the beast, the papal system, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. America has reneged on its office as a place of liberty. For they are the spirits of devil working miracles. I'm not saying that, it's all there chronicled in Revelation. The spirit of devil working miracle. Great controversy, page 590. The miracle working power manifested through spiritualism will exert its influence against those who choose to be God rather than man. Communication from the spirit will declare that God has sent them to convince the rejecters of Sunday and their error, affirming that the law of the land should be observed as the law of God. Sister White's writing doesn't supersede or superimpose on the Bible. Sister White's writing is to help you understand the time that we are living in. She is a non-canonical prophet. She never wrote any book in the Bible. So you say, how come? We've got to listen to her. That you got to listen to her. How many books did John the Baptist write? Yet Christ called John the Baptist among any man born of a woman. There is no greater prophet than John the Baptist. What about Miriam? What about the daughters of Philip? They wrote nothing in the Bible, yet they were prophets and prophetesses. So if any of you got any qualm about that, you better humble yourself. They will lament that the great wickedness in the world and the degraded state of moral is caused by the desecration of Sunday. So Adventists, stand by. You don't keep the Sunday Sabbath, then you are the cause of the problem. In 1950, Pius XII established the dogma of the Assumption of the Virgin Mary. 1950s, and we say that Virgin Mary brought back to life and went into heaven. They concoct that to give an office, a function to the Virgin. Pope Francis, I will entrust the destiny of humanity to the Virgin in Fatima, when he went to Fatima. So we're talking about spiritualism, you are point blank. I'm sorry, but this is the case. I will go to Fatima on a pilgrimage to entrust to the Virgin the temporal and eternal destinies of humanity, not God, not Christ, but the Virgin Mary who's dead and buried. Europe was consecrated to Mary by the Vatican and placed under her patronage. Adrian Hilton is a Protestant who wrote a little book. I forgot the title now, but it's very, very powerfully worded. The Mother of Forgiveness. Pope Francis said at the cross, Mary become for all people the Mother of Forgiveness. For us, Mary is an icon of how the church must offer forgiveness to those who seek it. Mary is a co-redemptress with Christ. This is abomination and doctrinal. With all due respect, Time magazine picks it up. Hail Mary. Catholics have long revered her, but now Protestants are finding their own reason to celebrate the Mother of Jesus. A lot of Protestants have now been siding, accepting Mary on board. In the old Protestant regime, if you accepted Mary, you were a heretic, but now it's all gone by the board. Mary has become a super co-sufferer with other titles, Mediatrix, Queen of Heaven, Bride of Christ. This is blasphemy. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus spilled. And this is valid for eternity. 18:4, and I heard our voice saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye may not partake of the sin and that ye may receive not of the plague. So God has got a big plan. He wants to rescue mankind. You know, when Christ died in Acts chapter 1 or chapter 3, when Christ died, a great number of priests were converted. These priests used to give hell to Christ. But when they saw the way he died on the cross, when they saw the way that this Italian centurion cried on the top of his voice, surely this must be the Son of God, earthquakes and lightning. This was to touch their heart, and many priests. So I'm not afraid to say that many priests and others out there, Protestant who renege on God, they will come out of Babylon. That's good news. That's good news indeed. Most of God's people are out there. And by the way, some of these people coming out of Babylon may not come into your church necessarily. When the thief on the right converted, how many churches did he go to? No, he died. But he died acknowledging Christ as his savior. Remember me when you come in your kingdom. Wow. Yes. Corinthians 11, and no wonder, for Satan himself transformed himself into an angel of light. Verse 15, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. Now, these are very, very, very relevant quotation now from Darkness Before Dawn, as I'm going to close. Page 33, paragraph 1. As spiritualism more closely imitates the nominal Christianity of the day, it has greater power to deceive and ensnare. Satan himself is converted after the modern order of Saint Mamma Mia. He will appear in the character of an angel of light. Through the agency of spiritualism, miracles will be wrought, the sick will be healed, and many undeniable wonders will be performed. And now the spirit will profess faith in the Bible, and manifest respect for the institution of the church. Their work will be accepted as a manifestation of divine power. And this is to come round the corner. She's carrying on. Ellen White says, as the crowning act on the great drama of deception, Satan himself will personate Christ. The church has long professed to look to the Savior's advent as the consummation of a hope. Now the great deceiver will make it appear that Christ has come. In different parts of the world, Satan will manifest himself among men as a majestic being of dazzling brightness, resembling the description of the Son of God given by John the Revelation. Unless you are anchored on Christ by his Holy Spirit, brethren, ladies and gentlemen, you are going to be swept away. Revelation 1:13-15. The glory that surrounds him is unsurpassed by anything that mortal eyes have yet beheld. The shout of triumph rings out among the air. Christ has come, Christ has come. The people prostrate themselves in adoration before him, while he lifts up his hand and pronounces a blessing upon them, as Christ blessed his disciples when he was upon earth. His voice is soft and subdued, full of melody. What a deception. In gentle, compassionate tones, he presents some of the same gracious heavenly truths which the Savior uttered. He healed the diseases of the people, and then in his assumed character of Christ, he proclaimed, now listen now, this is the telltale point. I have changed the Sabbath to Sunday. This gives him out, gives him the way, and common all to hallow the day which he has blessed. He declared that those who persist in keeping the holy, the seventh day, are blaspheming his name, by refusing to listen to his angel sent to them with light and truth. And she calls this is the strong, almost overmastering delusion. darkness before dawn. What disturbing thoughts. I'm glad this afternoon that God is still sitting high on his throne, looking down on common mortals like us, and he wants to save us. Communication from the Spirit will declare that God has sent them to convince rejecters of Sunday of their error, affirming that the law of the land should be obeyed as the law of God. Great Controversy 590/591. The end is very near. Testimonies to the church, not to the world, testimonies to the church. We who know the truth should be preparing for what is soon to break upon the world as an overwhelming surprise. Don't wait for it to happen. Prepare now. In my dark time and your time, things have moved so rapidly on the end time prophetical scenario. Yes. Now I saw heaven open and behold a white horse. Brethren, who rejoice now after all the bad news, but God is in control. A white horse is Christ coming down the corridors of heaven. A white horse is a symbol of purity, victory, and triumph. Christ comes to vanquish the enemy. He comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So we've got nothing to fear for the future, as Ellen G. White said, unless we forget how the God has led us in the past. And the enemies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, the purity of the gospel. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war with him that sat on the horse. And again, his army, Revelation 19:9, 17:14, they shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and kings of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. This is the label that would stick on you. Those who are called are chosen and faithful. Psalm 18:3, I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. We've got nothing to fear for the future. The life of Christ is our wages in you, produces the same fruits as in him. Living in Christ, adhering to Christ, supported by Christ, drawing nourishment from Christ, you bear fruit after the similitude of Christ. Glory, hallelujah. Glory, hallelujah. God will allow the final word, the final say. I don't know, Elder Earl, it's 6:10. If people got some question to ask, let me come out of the screen. Stop sharing, I'm back with you now. If anybody got some question, we can learn together. You can tell me something that I didn't know. But we are living in serious time. That's all I have to say. And you know what I'm talking about. You've seen it this morning. You've seen it this afternoon. And you know about it from the secular press, from the secular news every day, every day.
Gracious and eternal Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for your manservant. Thank you for the words we've heard. And I'm really asking that, Lord, you will touch us, that we won't be the same again, that we will be a people who will seek you while mercy's door is still open. Help us, Lord, that we may study your word to be wise unto salvation. Help us to realize that this world is not our home. There are so many things going on, and it's not going on to your honor and glory. Help us, Father in heaven, to see that there's a hell to shun and a heaven to gain.
Amen.
Your desire is to give unto us eternal life, but only if we accept your gift of salvation.
Amen.
So, Lord, be with us. even as the Sabbath will come to a close and we face a new week, we pray that you will lead and guide us and help us to be faithful unto the end. So, Lord, I want to say thank you for what you've done for us, us doing and shall do. And when all is said and done and time shall be no more, may you please save us all into thy eternal
kingdom. Amen.
Because we do ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you.